Good morning again. I brought Ted Finlayson-Schuler with me today. He's our worship chair, and we're going to have a little chat. So I'm glad you all are here for the chat. So Ted, you are the chair of the worship team. How did that happen?
Well, I'd always
Mike?
I'd always been interested in the design of worship ever since I was involved at Hendricks Chapel during college at SU. Students were involved in writing liturgy each week, and I even had the opportunity to preach when I was serving on the chapel staff. I've attended a lot of conference and national church events, and I've had the opportunity to be part of some very creative worship. Flash forward to about 5 years ago, and my good friend Christine Duran was chair of the worship committee here, and I was pretty impressed. We were doing some things that began to make worship more active and participatory, but then she moved to Rochester, and that energy ended. So in my life outside of church...
Wait, you have a life outside of church?
Well, at least some weeks. Anyway, I train instructors on how to present and how to create effective visuals for presentations. I'd been trying for a number of years to bring projection or displays to University Church, and finally about 3.5 years ago, I got the okay. Began the summer when you were here because Craig French was on sabbatical.
Yep.
By this time, the traditional worship committee had folded, so I decided to start it up again. I invited a whole bunch of people I thought might be interested in worship to become a part of a worship team, and we've had standing room only meetings ever since.
That's true. So how much does it cost to join the worship team, and can anybody be a part of it?
It's absolutely free. If you're interested in designing or being a part of worship in any way, as a reader, as a greeter, as an usher, as a liturgist, as part of the choir, just see me after church. Now, let me ask you a question. This plan of ministry in action, it says lively, engaging, and relevant worship that is spiritually, emotionally, intellectually stimulating as its number one goal.
Yeah.
So who thought up this plan, and why is worship number one?
What a great question. So I'm glad you asked, because this did come out in 2013 and has been revised in 2017. And we, as the governing board, wanted to reintroduce you to this strategic plan, or this plan of ministry in action, so you know that we are always moving forward and planning to do so. So this plan has been around for a while. The governing board, the body that directs activities of the church, first created the plan in 2013 and just finished a revision earlier this year. Having clear goals helps us use our resources and energy wisely. To tell you the truth, I think worship is number one, because the governing board understands that worship is the one time we all get together every week, and it's a place where so much happens. We are fed spiritually. We learn about our faith. We can share our joys and concerns. Ultimately, it's a time where we get a chance to touch the divine. So, Ted, what do you think makes worship effective?
Well, planning effective worship would be really easy if everyone was the same. If they all liked the same kind of music.
Right.
They all wanted the same kind of sermon. They're all moved by the same prayers and scriptures.
But we all worship the same God, don't we?
Well, it's the same God, but we all know God in different ways. Ways that are formed through our ethnic and cultural background, the churches we attended, our family history, our life experience, and the kind of music we like. Dr. Marcia McPhee, a consultant that we're working with, says, "The mission of worship is to build up the body of Christ for its work in the world through encounter with the holy living God." And since we all know the holy living God in different ways, we also encounter God in different ways, so worship must have a variety of styles, so everyone has a chance to encounter God in their own way.
Mm.
Listen to Marcia McPhee now describe how making worship meaningful for each one can enrich it for everyone.
Uh-oh.
Or not.
Well, if it doesn't work, we can post it online later. Are we good?
It's not working? All right.
All right. Well, we'll post it online later for everyone.
So what she's talking about here while she's not talking is just It's just understanding that different people find different things meaningful in worship, and that instead of, she does a really great job of being grumpy. Instead of being grumpy when something happens during worship that isn't your cup of tea, as she says, then what we should be saying is, thank God that my brother or sister next to me who finds that very meaningful is having the opportunity to have an encounter with God.
Mm-hmm. So give me an example of how this works.
Well, you remember during the stained glass worship series we just finished, the song to welcome the children was, there's no one like Jesus. Mm-hmm. You might also remember the Zulu words were underneath the English words on the screen because it's a Zulu song translated into English. How many of you tried the Zulu? Not too many hands, okay. So if English is your only language and the only language you've experienced your whole life, you might wonder, what's the point? My wife Jeannie was greeting Koki Ritala during greeting time, just as Koki realized the song we were singing was her song. She exclaimed, it's my language. Then she heard Dale leading the congregation and singing the Zulu as well. Mm-hmm. She was transformed, and it was a deep moment of familiarity and comfort for her that most people passed off as unimportant. We never know.
Mm-hmm. It really doesn't make sense until we take the time to learn each other's stories, does it? Marcia McPhee says, we want the messages to proclaim in worship to be meaningful. In other words, to be an intersection of life and faith stories, and memorable, living beyond the time and place of worship, because these are the messages by which we live our lives.
Yes, meaningful and memorable. She calls them good worship. Good makes me think about eating.
Yes.
And about how we use all our senses in worship. The scripture that inspired our call to worship this morning from the 34th Psalm told us, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Music, lighting, the spoken word, images on the screen, ritual actions, and tableaus designed to help interpret worship themes speak to each person in different ways.
Well, speaking of tableaus, what's with the sheep up here and on the screen?
Well, the sheep usually only get out on Christmas Eve, but they were getting fidgety, so we let them out early. Actually, the sheep are a really important image in the Christian tradition. Jesus is referred to as the Good Shepherd. You've got your crook there.
I do.
And those who follow Jesus are often called his flock. You know, when Jesus was preparing St. Peter to lead the church after he was gone, he asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter got a little frustrated that Jesus would even question him and said, of course I love you. And Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. How many people have a flock of sheep at home?
Less than those who sang Zulu.
Less than sang Zulu. So in Jesus' time, sheep were an important part of the culture and economy. Shepherds tended the sheep, moving them to fresh pastures, keeping them together and protecting them from attack or theft. While the shepherds were at the bottom of the social ladder, they played a very important role. Jesus humbly took on that role as a metaphor to describe how he cared for the people he met during his ministry. Jesus, of course, did not have any sheep. Jesus was a homeless guy. But Jesus cares for us as a shepherd of his flock. And we know in the words of the 100th Psalm we heard read today, it is God that made us and we are God's. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture.
We are a part of God's flock, not actually a flock of sheep, but of people. Worship is how we connect with God, whether it be in song, in prayer, in study, or in action. Worship is not a 20-minute period during a church service. It's a lifestyle. Amen.
Amen.